The Public News Service Daily Newscast, June the 11th, 2021. I'm Mark Clifford. 40 years ago this month, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported the first cases of what would become known as HIV/AIDS and touch off an epidemic that took 32 million lives across the globe and 700,000 here in the U.S. Suzanne Potter has our report.
Rick Chavez-Burr is executive director of the nonprofit Equality California, a job he's about to leave to run for state assembly. He says Americans mustn't forget the terrible toll of this disease.
I lost literally scores of friends to the disease and watched our government pretty much do nothing about it for over a decade. And so as I think about the 40th anniversary, I think we need to remember all the people that were lost.
He adds the huge loss of life and perceived inaction by the Reagan administration motivated groups like Equality California to help elect leaders who would take the disease seriously, including President Bill Clinton and Senators Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein. Today, HIV treatments make it possible for 38 million people worldwide to live with HIV, including 1.2 million Americans. Chavez-Burr says he's proud of the leading role California has played in making new medications more accessible.
I mean, California is one of the few states that insurance fully covers PEP and PrEP and Medi-Cal, and that's not the case across the country, so we need to reduce the barriers for medications that can prevent HIV.
Advocates would also like to see the repeal of laws in 8 states that criminalize the transmission of or perceived exposure to HIV. A bipartisan group of 10 Senate Democrats and Republicans reached a new deal on infrastructure Thursday, agreeing to nearly a $1 trillion 5-year package to improve the country's roads, bridges, pipes, and internet connections. That from the Washington Post. The Post notes it remains unclear if the early accord will prove to be enough to satisfy either the White House or a sufficient number of lawmakers on Capitol Hill. And for the most part, if you're a fish, you're either prey or predator. But Florida research is finding that symbiotic relationship is at risk.
Dakota Lewis, a University of Central Florida graduate student and 2020 fellow on the Forage Fish Research Program, has studied algal blooms and fish kills in the Indian River Lagoon, which stretches along 40% of Florida's east coast. Using data sets from the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, she found faster declines of forage fish like mullet and anchovies and years of decline for fish-eating species like trout and redfish.
And so there's a potential for that, a loss of that balance due to that decoupling of those two communities that are so intertwined.
This is PNS. A gas preemption bill in the state Senate would prevent Pennsylvania municipalities from adopting policies that would restrict or prohibit methane gas use in new homes and buildings in favor of using electricity.
Critics of the measure say it could especially hurt areas like Bethlehem, which has its own climate plan and has reduced municipal greenhouse gas emissions by 37% from 2005 to 2017. Robert Ruth with the Clean Air Council says the bill would hinder local communities' clean energy goals.
The bill, as currently written, is overbroad, and it has the potential to chill any municipal efforts to, say, adopt new energy efficiency measures, or even to offer financial incentives to developers to pursue all-electric construction for new buildings.
Senate Bill 275 is still in committee, but Ruth believes with the state's deep ties to the gas industry, it's likely the bill will pass or be included in the budget as an amendment. I'm Michaela Savitt, reporting.
Advocates for Minnesota's Muslim community are welcoming a settlement between the federal government and a large meat processing company accused of discriminating against some of its workers, including Muslims and immigrants from Somalia.
The EEOC says JBS Swift has agreed to pay more than $5 million to settle claims in a lawsuit filed by the agency more than a decade ago. The suit alleged JBS denied religious accommodations to Muslim employees at a Colorado plant. Jelani Hussein of the Council on American Islamic Relations Minnesota chapter says even though the case is from another state, the problem persists in the Midwest.
Here in Minnesota, we still represent close to 40% of our legal cases for employment-related discrimination, individuals who are denied prayer.
Beyond meat and poultry plants, he says there are also instances in office settings where cleaning staff are denied the ability to pray. I'm Mike Moen.
Finally, Mark Richardson tells us food insecurity among rural Utah children, already a problem prior to the pandemic, has grown worse in the past 15 months.
The multi-billion dollar American Families Plan would provide direct payments to families to cover kids' meals during the summer break. Neil Ricard with the group Utahns Against Hunger says the plan would close a major gap in current food programs.
We are a fairly rural state. Most of the state is not an urban area. And while districts do a great job of providing summer meals while they're available, there are still a lot of places that are just never going to be fully accessible for summer meals.
The program would provide eligible families $300 or more a month during summer break for groceries. It also includes tax credits and improvements to education, child care, jobless benefits, and paid leave, but many Republicans oppose the plan's hefty price tag.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for wrapping up your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported, heard on great radio stations, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.